Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles real quick and turn to Hebrews in chapter 4. I want to speak on a topic, preach on a topic that people are in need of. So that's why I'm going the direction that I'm going this morning. In Hebrews and chapter 4, you're not unfamiliar with this passage. It says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. By the way, what's his name?
Jesus.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In that hour of temptation, our great high priest is there for us. And everything that you have ever been tempted with, Jesus experienced that temptation while he was here on this earth. Yet he experienced it without sin. He overcame. He was the pathfinder. He went before us. He is that great high priest right now interceding on behalf of the church of Jesus Christ, interceding on behalf of every believer. If you're here, you're born again, you got a friend in heaven. Amen. And he's for real. He is our great advocate and mediator. I probably should skip any kind of introduction, but I need to remind you this morning about the enemy that we have in the world in which we serve. You're born again. You've received Christ as your Savior. You got the Holy Spirit living within you. But there is a threefold enemy fighting the work of God. It's called the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the cosmos. That's the Greek word in the New Testament. It is the culture. The culture is made up of a Christless society because we're not being the salt of the earth like we ought to. Then the Christless society takes over. The flesh, that Greek word is sarxenos. That's just simply put, I got it. And you got it even if you're born again. When you got saved, you were made spiritually, you were spiritually quickened. You received a new nature. The Holy Spirit came into your life and he indwells you as a believer. Now you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside. The problem is I'm still in this old body. I still have that old nature. I still have that old, fallen, broken, Adamic nature, and it's fighting against the things of God all of the time. So I'm reminding you that there is an enemy, the cosmos, the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world is anti-God. The flesh rebels against God. Paul said, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. My flesh is a problem. I look in the mirror every morning. It's a problem. I look in the mirror during the day. And if you're like I am, every once in a while, you look to make sure your hair is combed. Well, I don't do that anymore. I'm past that. But I look, see my face is clean. If everything's right, my clothes are good. You know, if you happen to walk by a mirror. So then when I look in the mirror, I see my biggest problem. The world, the flesh, and then the devil, that ancient creature who introduced rebellion into this world, and this world became a fallen world. I hate the devil. Every time I see a drunk, I get mad at the devil. I mean, right here in my heart. Every time I hear of a young girl that's having a baby out of wedlock, I hate the devil. Every time I see a teen run to the world thinking that sin is the answer, I hate the devil. Every time I hear a loud, obnoxious fool blaspheme God, I hate the devil. Every time I hear of another church that points its feet to the world, I hate the devil. He is our enemy. And the devil, if he has his way, will sift you out like wheat. That's what Jesus told the Apostle Peter. He said, the devil seeks to sift you out like wheat. The devil wants you. He wants your wife, he wants your husband, he wants your children, he wants your grandchildren, and if he can get them to hell, he's going to take them to hell. Man, I hate the devil. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. Well, let's start with Isaiah 14 because you know this passage. Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to read fast because I really don't want to dwell here. Verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. It's a sure thing where he's going. Number one, the devil's a snitch. Read that in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. You read that in the book of Revelation. Don't have time to turn there. Chapter 12 and verse 10. He is an accuser of the brethren. He's not your friend. And the devil is not in hell today. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8. He is looking for the strays. He is looking for those that are spiritually weak, and he will chew you up and spit you out. The devil never blesses. The devil uses. And you might think everything's hunky-dory and everything's going good for a while, but man, it's just not going to last, not going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 13 through 15. Turn there if you would, quickly. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. We're going to jump all over the place this morning. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil's chief business is religion. The devil is all about ruin and wreck and destruction. The devil is all about taking anything that God has and anything that you have and destroying it, corrupting it, making it wrong. We have an enemy. It's threefold: world, flesh, and the devil. For every Nehemiah, there's a Sanballat. For every victory, there is a battle. Nothing is going to come easy in the work of God. It might initially, but then you figure out, hey, this is a real war, and you keep your eyes on Jesus. I would tell you this before I'll get to point number one here. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, you took 8 minutes for your introduction. This is going to be very, very fast. The seven R's to overcome temptation. You're going to want to write some of these down. Seven R's to victory. All of us deal with temptation. That's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I'll quote it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God, who is faithful, will with the temptation make a way to escape. There's a promise from God. You're saying, I've got an area of my life. It is a stronghold of Satan. It's an evil, wicked imagination, a stronghold where Satan, I'm serving God everywhere, but in this one area, and there's a stronghold, and I can't seem to overcome it, preacher. What I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 13, God has made a way to escape. God has made a way to victory. He is prepared. That's one of the seven things that I'm going to preach to you here this morning. Take your Bibles and turn here. Luke in chapter 4. Gospel of Luke and chapter 4. And this is the temptation of Christ. Verse 3 says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. The devil comes, verse 2, and tempts him. He hadn't had anything to eat. And the devil tempts him with bread. He said, the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And he could. Jesus could have. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The Bible's the answer. Verse 5 says, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. He said, Jesus, I'll give you power. I'll give you prestige. I'll give you glory. You'll be somebody here in this world. And the devil can't give those things, by the way. He says, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Man, I massacred that. Verse 8 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. You might want to remember that last phrase, he departed for a season. So the devil offers everything, but the devil cannot deliver on the goods. I just wanted to read that to point out a couple of things, and this applies to you and to me. Everybody is tempted. Even Jesus, the Son of God, because he came in the form of man, he was tempted. And therefore, you take that a step farther, temptation is not sin. Yielding to the temptation, that is sin. We live in this world culture, so we're going to be tempted to do wrong. Some people, the flesh is stronger than others because they feed their flesh instead of feeding their spirit. I'll talk to that in a moment. Every temptation that comes your way and comes my way is tailor-made. Jesus was hungry. He just finished fasting. And the devil tempted him with bread. Here's something else. The devil quotes the Bible. But he quotes his Bible. He takes it out of context. He'll take a minor and make it a major. You've got to know, and I've got to know my Bible in order to overcome temptation and to take down satanic strongholds that are in our lives. Satan quotes the Bible, but the Bible is our weapon against Satan. Okay, here it is. 7 R's. First one you're going to write down is the word repent. This is how you're going to get victory over your personal sin. You need to repent of your sin. The Bible says that God is faithful and just, and he'll forgive us our sins. All we got to do is come to him and confess. The Bible tells us, I've alluded to this passage twice, and we have not turned to it. We don't have time to turn to it, but it's 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 10. And it talks about wicked and evil imaginations and thoughts that become the devil's strongholds. You see, you can look all good on the outside. You can look like you've got everything together, but there's certain buttons that the devil pushes in your life, and those thoughts come to your mind, and wicked and evil imaginations, and you give in to those sins. You give in to them with your mind first, and then you end up living them out in your life because the devil develops a stronghold in your life. Man, you gotta repent of that sin. You got to tell God, I am sorry for that sin, because every sin has consequences. You say, well, I've not really lived it out. It's just in my mind. It's just a fantasy. It's just an imagination. Those are toe holds for Satan. And he's going to set you up. He's going to try to get you to do wrong in a moment of weakness. And you've got to be on top of it. Repent, turn from that sin this morning. I don't know what it is. It could be anything. There's a big crowd. It could be any number of things. And what your sin, neighbor's sin is and temptation is not yours. And the fact is, you got something tailor-made and the devil is working it in your life. Repent of that sin. Turn from that sin so that God can start to use you. The first letter is the letter R. It speaks to repentance. The second letter the second word for the letter R is the word reckon. In Romans and chapter 6, let's all turn there real quickly. Romans chapter 6, we're moving now. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We repent from our sin, and it says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion or power or authority over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I am to reckon, I am to declare, I am to acknowledge that the flesh is dead unto sin, because I'm alive unto God. I repent of my sin and repentance toward God. I turn to God. I turn from my sin. I turn to God. Now I got to do something that's very practical. The rest of these are very, very practical steps. I have got to declare victory over that sin, over that temptation. I have got to, in my prayer life, in my heart of hearts, in my Bible study, and it's not a name it and claim it kind of thing. That's not it. But you need to acknowledge that sin no more has authority over you, that temptation no more has power over you, because you're a new man and you're a new woman, and you don't have to give in, even if your sister gives in, even if your brother gives in. That's them. You can be that victorious Christian. You can be victorious over the strongholds and the temptations the devil has and brings to your life. Number one, repent of your sin. Number two, reckon the flesh dead. 2 Peter 3:8, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, read your Bible. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You fight temptation, you fight the weakness of the flesh with the eternal word of God. You take the sword of the Spirit, and the reason you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, line upon line, precept upon precept. The reason you hide God's word in your heart is you're not always carrying a Bible with you, and temptation is going to come, and you can fight it with the word of God. By the way, Jesus did just that, and he's the Son of God. He didn't just grit his teeth and say, get out of here, Satan. Man, he quoted scripture. The devil misquotes it, he quotes it right. And victory. Reckon, repent, reckon the flesh, read your Bible. It is all about the Bible. It's getting in the Word of God. I have observed in life that people that grow distant from God, they've set their Bible down. The fires aren't hot. Their personal Bible study. Some people think they're going to get by not studying the Bible. You will be a casualty. You'll bounce through life. Not going to be good. Repent. Reckon the flesh. Dead. Read your Bible. How about run? Run. This is very practical. Sometimes the greater part of valor is running from the temptation that is found in your life. And I think of Genesis chapter 39 and Joseph. Pastor Josh preached a great message on Joseph last Sunday night. Man, he left his coat because she grabbed a hold of it in Potiphar's wife's hands, and he beat feet out of that place because he did not want to be guilty of sin, and he was not going to hang around temptation. I'm going to speak to that right here in a hot moment. But he left, and he was falsely accused, and yes, he was thrown into prison, but God delivered him. You know, sometimes you just need to run from temptation. That brings me to the very next thing. Rearrange in your life that which is not right. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Some things in our lives, let me just eyeball to eyeball, I'm preaching at you and preaching to myself at the same time. We may have some things in our life that set us up for doing wrong. Certain people we hang around, certain music that gets listened to, certain things you see on television, the computer, whatever it is, certain things that triggers things in your mind, and it's a battle for the mind. That's what Satan is fighting for, so he can get to your heart and he can get to your soul. But there are certain things that, you know, and we just gotta stop hanging out with those people. Amen. We gotta stop going to those places. That's just common sense. If you know what's bad over there, don't go over there. If you know the fire is hot over there, don't step into the fire. There are some things, this is deep. There are some things in our life that have to go. That's it. There are things in our life and we drift. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone onto his own way. So don't think like you've arrived. Maybe you had it together 6 months ago and now some things have crept in. Might be an attitude, might be a philosophy, might be a spirit of rebellion. There's some things that crept in your mind. Maybe it's lust, maybe it's coveting. Maybe it's an anger problem, and it's kind of crept back. There are things in our life that have to go. Man, I got hooked on Fox News for a while. And then I found myself getting angry every time I watched it. Said, man, I can't be watching Fox News like that anymore. So now, the Bible's number one. I'll watch Newsmax, News One, and different things like that. But the fact is, if you just keep watching that negativity and that same stuff, and they're not voices of righteousness. You know, some of them, they have no idea what they're parroting for words. And they're not offering any real answers. The book does, though. Say, preacher, I got a real problem with a specific stronghold, a temptation in my life, and this will make you a better Christian. I'm trying to help you. Number one, repent of the sin. Don't play footsie with the world. Number two, reckon the flesh dead. You got to make a declaration in your heart. Man, I don't have to do that anymore. Man, I've been blood bought. I've been born again. I don't have to go there anymore. Number two, read my Bible. That's how I'm going to fortify. That's how things, I'm going to put ammunition in the Holy Spirit's weapon, so that when the devil comes tempting and comes my way, man, we'll be able to fight it off together. Because it's a threefold enemy that we're fighting here in this world. So I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to run from certain temptations. There's some very practical thing I'm going to do. I'm going to rearrange some things in my life. Some things have to go. You cannot, if you have a problem with alcohol before you got born again and you're struggling with it now, the last place you should go is with someone that drinks booze. That's the last place that you ought to go. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what the Bible says. So if I hang out with those kind of people, I'm going to be those kind of people. I used to tell this to my kids. I tell it to our young people all the time. You show me the crowd that you're hanging out with, and I'll show you the person you're going to become. That's it. That's just how it works. And that's what evil communications corrupt good manners out of the book of Romans. That's what it's saying there. So I need to run, rearrange, and then how about this? How about replacing my sin with something better? Let's all turn to Colossians, book of Colossians, and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Replace, once you get victory over the sin, let me help you now. Don't just stop doing wrong, start doing right. You used to listen to ungodly music, replace it with godly music. Man, you used to have trouble with alcohol or wacky tobacco or whatever it is. Don't just stop doing evil. Start drinking black coffee. Start doing right, that Baptist drink there. But I mean, you know, don't just stop doing wrong. Start doing right. Don't just stop dying. Start living. Amen. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're truly born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your heart, on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Replace the sin with something better. Hey, I'll tell you something good to do. Start going to church. Start rubbing shoulders with God's people. You'll be surprised how that works. Come to Sunday school and hear the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, as we study through books of the Bible. Come to the Sunday morning service and hear preaching and teach. Preaching is teaching with unction, right? With anointing. You hear that, and you'll find out how God works in the church services. Come Sunday night at 6 o'clock to family time and hear the word of God and get to know some of the brethren in a more personal way than just an hour or 2 hours on Sunday morning. Come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Gather around the throne with your brothers and sisters. Man, you get in a foxhole with a brother or sister, that'll draw you closer to God. That'll draw you closer to one another. I've got some brethren here I think would die for me, and I would die for them, because we're together in this battle. Man, come to church. Get to the place where God can bless. No man's an island. And you've heard me preach this 100 times. Church is God's idea. Church is ordained of God. The New Testament church, not a denomination. The New Testament church, a living, breathing organism. Man, you get with God's people in Bible studies. I'm not afraid of Bible studies. Man, I wish there were 100 Bible studies going on during the week with the people of Fundamental Baptist Church. Because if you're studying the Bible, the same Bible, and you're studying, and you have the same teacher, God the Holy Spirit, man, we're not going to disagree on things. You study it long enough, and we'll come together. Absolutely. We'll be one in Christ, and that's how it works. And you know what that does? That builds the church of Jesus Christ. That makes Fundamental Baptist Church that much stronger. This church will never be any stronger than its family units that are committed to Christ. And you want to overcome temptation in your life? You want to have victory in your life? There's one more thing you've got to do. Let me run through this again in case you're writing it down. Number one, repent. Don't play footsie with the sin. Number two, reckon the flesh dead. In your heart, a declaration. I don't have to give in. Grow a backbone spiritually. Stand up to the temptation. Number three, read your Bible. You're not going to do it without the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It won't be long and you'll be running on empty. So read your Bible. Number four, run. Sometimes you just run from that temptation. It may happen. It wasn't planned. You just happened to be there. Man, get out of there. Number five, rearrange your life. Number six, replace the sin with something better. And then number seven, Hebrews chapter 4. Turn back there again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Just that 15th verse. Last R, reach up in prayer. Call out for help. Cry out to God. You need the cavalry to come to your rescue. Man, you're down here fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sometimes one is bigger than the other. Sometimes my biggest enemy, without a doubt, is the flesh, because the devil is not omnipresent. He is not deity. He can only be in one place at one time. Sure, he's got little minions, and sure, he's got demon hordes and forces of darkness, and I know what that's all about, but still, even at that, they are not omnipresent. But then we got the cosmos, and I live in this culture that we have created, and America is now a godless nation. This is a godless society. Almost at every level. And that is a dangerous place to be. We're ripe for revival in America, and we're ripe for the rapture. One of the two is going to happen here very, very soon. And then I've got my biggest enemy of all, Tim Rader. Oh, by the way, 210 pounds now. I have a hard time going through a day without bragging. I'm just encouraging myself. The ladies in the kitchen out at the camp, they're tired of hearing about it. I know it. I can see it in their eyes. I walk in. Guess what? And they all just turn away from me. they don't want to hear it. But my flesh is still as strong as it ever was. I still got it. That's what Paul said in Romans in chapter 7. He said, I'm a wretched man. Greatest Christian that ever lived. He never reached that plateau of sinless perfection. And you and I never will on this earth either. But we don't have to sin. We've got to be tempted. But we don't have to sin. You say, you don't know my family are all alcoholics. I can say the same thing. Before Christ, the entire Rader and Kredeman clan and Metcalf clan and Bauer clan, everybody I know, you know that crowd I preached to at the cemetery? That was us. Maybe that's why my heart goes out to them. Man, if it weren't for my mom and dad getting saved and the gospel spread throughout those families. This is years and years ago now, and now a lot of them are in heaven. But the truth is, this is a society that knows nothing of Christ. You got flesh, and I got flesh, but you need to reckon that flesh dead. Reach out. Verse 15, let me read it. Let's all stand together, and I'll read it, and you just follow along. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Very loose paraphrase. Jesus knows what we're going through. You say, you don't know how hard it is. Christ does. All right? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, I circled that in my Bible, tempted like as we are. Yet, and I underline this, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what the writer of Hebrews is saying? The writer of Hebrews is saying, call out to God when you're in trouble. When you need help, you call out to God. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God, who is faithful, will with the temptation also make a way to escape.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.